This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Fantasy football, we feel your pain. That's why we invite Kevin into the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Kevin Payne of RotoWire.com, our guest. Kevin, much like your kids, I was wondering last night when I was watching Monday Night Football, what is Drew Brees doing on that tablet? Is he playing Fortnite? What's he doing?
Yeah, updating his Facebook page. Just broke the record. Congrats to me. Who knows what they're doing on those things, but I think that he did start to notice, or somebody told him, look at Traquan Smith because he's running wide open all day.
Well, let's start there. I mean, that's a good place to start from last night. I mean, Traquan Smith is free. I don't know if that genie's going back in the bottle. We know that Michael Thomas is going to be Breeze's primary target moving forward, Kevin, but is it fair to assume that Smith is going to continue to get fed after the Saints bye?
I think so. So you take a look at him, three catches, three targets. That's the only thing that kind of worries me. And technically, Cam Meredith is the number two guy. Ted Ginn will come back, but I wonder if at some point they just say, let's use Ginn as the returner. Let's unleash Traquan, who's got a great pedigree. He's fast. He's got some size. And we've seen in the past, Marquez Colston had a huge rookie season, as did Michael Thomas with Drew Brees. He's willing to trust these guys if they're talented enough, and the talent is definitely there with Smith. So I think he's going to be inconsistent, but I think he's going to have games like last night where he might go two catches for 70 or 80 yards and a touchdown once every two or three games. Especially, I would take a look at using him at home because Drew Brees has always played better in that dome. The Saints have been much more dominant inside that dome at home throughout Drew Brees' career there.
Rochester native Kevin Payne, now of RotoWire.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Another tidbit from the Saints game last night. Well, Mark Ingram comes back, and he looked good. And, well, that cuts into Alvin Kamara's production. And, Kevin, I'm watching this. Who is this guy Hill? Get him out of there. He's cutting in everybody's carries there out of the Wildcats. So how do you see the Saints backfield now? I mean, this can't be all that great for Kamara owners, I would assume.
Yeah, I said, you know, people asked me on Sunday, you know, what can we expect out of Kamara going forward? And I said, I think he can still do 80, 90% of what he's been doing. But now I might lower that to 70 or 80%, which is still fantastic value, just considering he's been a beast. But I think that they want to keep him fresh. I mean, they're looking long-term over the full course of the season. They want to make sure that he's ready to go in those last weeks of the season. And it makes sense. Look, Ingram's not coming off an injury. He's coming off a suspension. And the fact of the matter is, why not give him a little bit more work since he's been resting these last 4 weeks? So it's not surprising, and you got to be a little bit wary. I'd be more wary about Michael Thomas and his value going forward, especially after these last two games. But I think that those guys, you had to expect that, you know, it was an unsustainable pace that they were on. So if I'm a guy and I've got a running back, let's say that's in the middle of the pack, let's say that's 10 through 15, I might go ahead and contact the Kamara owner and see if he's really nervous after last night and try to buy low on him, because I think there will be games that are closer that he's going to be used a little bit more. And also remember that Ingram fumbled last night. That's been a little bit of an issue in the past for him. If that continues to happen, he can end up in Sean Payton's doghouse very quickly, and they may just go exclusively with Kamara. So I would send out a line to the Kamara owner in fantasy football and see if his owner's a little bit worried today and willing to sell a little bit low on him.
We're talking fantasy football with RotoWire.com's Kevin Payne in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, here on ESPN Rochester. Kevin, the Eagles, let's talk about the big story of today, the rumors that potentially LeSean McCoy, or the Eagles have reached out to the Buffalo Bills about LeSean McCoy with Jay Ajayi on IR, Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood, the options that they have in their backfield. Are you paying attention to them? Are they the focus of the majority of your waiver wire attention? And what exactly do you think Howie Roseman might be up to as far as developing an Eagles plan for the rest of the season out of their backfield?
Yeah, so you take a look at these two teams, and there are two teams that I think are heading in different directions and outlooks for the season. Defending Super Bowl champions, the Eagles, especially in that division, it's wide open. They can go ahead and easily still win this. There's plenty of time left, despite the 2-3 start. Whereas you look at the 2-3 Bills, you've got Miami that they've got to go ahead and leapfrog, and then obviously you've always got New England. So that's a much tougher road to get by. My thing is this. Okay, so Ajayi last year came over for a fourth-round pick. So I'm guessing if I'm the Bills, a third-round pick definitely gets it done. Fourth-round pick, you've got to consider it. Just all the off-the-field stuff that has happened with McCoy. But nobody knows better than Philadelphia because he came from there in the Kiko Alonso deal. Nobody knows better than Philadelphia if that's an issue. So right now, if I'm looking at the waiver wire, I actually like Wendell Smallwood a little bit better than Corey Clement. Now, Clement's a little bit bigger. He's built a little bit more to handle a bigger workload. But we play in all sorts of PPR formats, and I think Smallwood's going to handle the third down role as well as getting some first and second down carries, every other or every two or three series. So I do like Smallwood a little bit better than Clement. Clement's coming off thigh injury. He was supposed to be back at practice today. I haven't seen an update if he went through the full practice, but that says to me that injury is kind of minor. So for now, they're going to try to go with those two guys. Got the short week. They play Thursday against the Giants, which should be a decent matchup for both those guys. But I slightly prefer Smallwood, and it'll be interesting to see if the Bills pull the trigger and go ahead and get rid of McCoy and turn to Tywan Jones, Marcus Murphy, Chris Ivory. And Ivory's run really hard. He almost, in a way, reminds me of Marshawn Lynch light a little bit, the way that he took some of those runs. Very bruising. I worry a little bit that he's going to get beat up because I think Lynch is unique in the fact that he can go ahead and take that punishment and continue to not get hurt. I'm not sure that's the case with Ivory, who's getting up there and a little bit long in the tooth. Not that Lynch isn't himself, but so it'll be interesting to see if the Bills and Philadelphia, who've been good trade partners in the past, can make a deal.
Kevin, you being based in Buffalo now, you're not going to start LeSean McCoy normally if you have better options as a Buffalo Bill, but do you recommend maybe searching out in your league if the owner of LeSean McCoy is unsuspecting, maybe offering something small? Is that a way to prospect here? Because I could imagine LeSean McCoy, putting him in Philadelphia or wherever, if the Bills are successful, that's a player I might be interested in going to get.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see that. The problem is just with social media and everything that you have in this day and age. Our website, there's other websites out there, obviously. It's easy to know that these talks have happened and there's a chance that McCoy goes to Philadelphia, which would increase the fantasy value at least 50%, if not more, than what it would be if he would stay with the Bills. So they kind of already know that, talking about his owners, so that might be a little bit difficult. But they might be willing to take a chance on a player who missed the game and has been wildly inconsistent before Sunday, and not that he put up the greatest game either Sunday compared to a lot of the other running backs in the league. So it's definitely something that you can go ahead and reach out and see if you can make a deal. But again, just realize that the owner's got probably has the same information that you do.
He's RotoWire's Kevin Payne. We're talking some fantasy football with Danger and Battaglia in the sports bar here on ESPN Rochester. I want to ask you about a few confusing and puzzling backfields. But before we do that, before we move off of Thursday night, a report today that Evan Engram was going to be a full participant in practice. I mean, with the scarcity of position as scarce as tight end is, I mean, when you get news like that, are you going to buy Evan Engram and picking him up if he was dropped by a nervous owner earlier this year?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of leagues I play in only have four or five bench spots, which I love because you have to make tough decisions each and every week, and you have to make cuts like him and other guys. And as soon as you see they're going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks, a guy like Gio Bernard, adios. You know, you've got to let those guys go and get guys that can help you here and now. I always preach to people, you've got to make the fantasy playoffs and then worry about it then. That should be your goal. You can't sit on these guys who are going to be out for multiple weeks. So if Ingram's out there, go for it for sure. A lot of criticism of Eli, a lot of strange things going on with that team behind Odell Beckham and behind closed doors. So I'm not really sure what's going on there, but every year is a weird year in the NFL. This year has been a ton of injuries at tight end. Just these top players keep getting hurt. We should see Greg Olsen back this week too. That'll make the position a little bit deeper. But if you can go out and get Evan Engram, who's one of the more talented guys, easily a top five guy, in my opinion, go ahead and get him and put him on your team. And if he's out there, you go ahead and play him just because injuries have really decimated the position this season.
We're talking to RotoWire's Kevin Payne here in the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN. Staying in the backfields here, I'm going to give you three teams here. You tell me if any of these situations is clear to you, because from where I sit, I have no idea how to handicap who's going to get the carries in Green Bay, Seattle, and Denver. Green Bay, Seattle, Denver. How would you assess the situations there, Kevin? Is there anybody in those situations worth going to get?
Yeah, Rashad Penny has been, and I thought he was going to be great. I wrote about him. I thought he was going to be fantastic. Chris Carson looks like he's going to be the back that you want. Didn't get the rushing touchdown. Went to Mike Davis. Mike Davis is a little bit of a journeyman. So if I want a guy there, it's Chris Carson. I've got him in a few places. I will start him with full confidence going forward. I also think it's kind of interesting that sometimes these guys sit out a week. There's a backup that comes in, as Davis did in Arizona, has a huge game, and then miraculously Carson's healthy and can handle a full workload the following week. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Green Bay, this almost seems like it's Mike McCarthy just being bullheaded. And I know a lot of people there are absolutely frustrated with the situation with Aaron Jones. He is the best running back they have. Ty Montgomery is a converted wide receiver. He can handle third down work. Fine, let him do that. But Aaron Jones is head and shoulders above Jamal Williams, yet they still use Jamal Williams. And they make the excuse that he's better in pass protection, which there's metrics that show last year Aaron Jones picked up every single blitz and block that he was supposed to. So that goes out the window. There's a lot of headbutting between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers right now. Aaron Rodgers loves Aaron Jones. Aaron Rodgers knows Aaron Jones is a better player. And at the end of the day, if I'm an organization and I'm one of the people in the front office, I know that Aaron Rodgers needs 100 times more to my team than Mike McCarthy does. So that'll be an interesting situation to watch as well. Denver, it's just, look, they're going to play Philip Lindsay and they're going to play Royce Freeman. I think Freeman's got a little bit more talent, but they like the production they're getting out of both, and they're going to continue to use both those guys going forward. I would say that maybe in non-PPR, I like Freeman a little bit better, and in PPR, I like Lindsay a little bit better. Although I believe Freeman had three catches on Sunday, which was a little bit of a game flow thing because they were playing from behind most of the game. Other team that I would take a look at, too, Detroit. Man, Kerryon Johnson is the best running back there. They're going to give the goal line work to LeGarrette Blount simply because he's around. Two rushes, got it into the end zone, and if that production goes to Kerryon Johnson, who had 70 yards and could have had a lot more, then you're looking at a huge fantasy day. But if I can acquire Aaron Jones, if I can acquire Kerryon Johnson, those are guys that I would be looking for in the trade market because I think eventually their talent's going to win out and they could go ahead and make a huge impact over the second half of the season.
Kevin, let's say Matt Breida can't go for the 49ers this weekend. Sell me on the benefits of Alfred Morris. It's hard. It's hard for me to get excited, but is Alfred Morris the real deal for the Niners if Breida can't go?
He's not the real deal at this point, but if you look at his numbers last year, he had great yards per carry with Dallas. And the fact of the matter is the volume is going to be there. The problem is they might be playing from behind a lot, which goes ahead and concerns me a little. Kyle J, I'm going to call him, who's the fullback, he had seven catches for like 70 yards. So he's going to be involved a little bit in the passing game. And then you've got Raheem Mostert, who's kind of a journeyman who's been around, bounced around the league. I think he's been with four or five teams. But he's been with San Francisco the last few years, so he'll get some work as well. It's too bad because Breida's looked fantastic, and I really think he was going to be the 1B to the 1A of Jerick McKinnon had McKinnon not gotten hurt to start the season. So I think purely based on volume, and Alfred Morris is out there in more leagues than not. I believe he's something like 42% owned in Yahoo League. I would go ahead and get Alfred Morris just based upon the volume and based upon the fact that he will get the goal line work, and he even caught himself a few passes on Sunday, which was a little bit surprising considering he always hasn't had that role in Washington. They went to whoever the third down back was there. So I like Morris just based on volume going forward for the 49ers backfield.
He's a Rochester native. RotoWire's Kevin Payne is our guest, making his first start at quarterback this season. Jameis Winston coming off the suspension, and this past week was a bye for the Buccaneers. The Bucs they're in Atlanta this week. So, how would you project Jameis Winston, a quarterback that we haven't seen in a regular season game since 2017?
Yeah. So, look, the coaching staff, I believe, set this up for Jameis Winston to thrive. They went ahead and started Ryan Fitzpatrick at the Bears. The Bears, to me, top three. Let's even just say that we're just going ahead and giving him a little bit of rope. Top five defense in the league. So you start Ryan Fitzpatrick there knowing that he's probably going to fail. Winston had two picks there, so it wasn't like he was heads and shoulders better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. But now coming out of the bye against Atlanta, who's been absolutely decimated on defense as far as injury goes, and you take a look, they've given up a ton of points. They've given up, or they've played in games with 70 points twice and games in the 50s the other two games. So you've taken a look. This should be a high-scoring affair. Jameis Winston is set up here to go ahead and succeed. I like using him as a streaming option this week. But going forward, I mean, I think there's still a strong argument that Ryan Fitzpatrick's a better quarterback. But they want to see, just based upon what they have in the future, what they have in Winston Jameson, or Jameis Winston, excuse me. And take a look. DeSean Jackson has said, I want Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's hitting me downfield. So we'll see if that happens. He's got a great set of receivers. Even Cameron Brate has emerged over the last few weeks at tight end. O.J. Howard's going to be out. You've got an exciting young player in Chris Godwin. And Mike Evans is still considered a top 5 to 8 receiver in the league. So he's set up for success this week. I think he's a great streaming option. But overall, going forward, do I trust him? Absolutely not. As I said, I still think that Ryan Fitzpatrick might be a better option if the team wants to win now.
Kevin, let's look at some other targets you might have if you're looking at a waiver wire acquisition this week.
Okay, so guys I wrote about that you can go to rotowire.com. I have to plug it. I wrote about a guy named Kiki Kute. Right now the Texans are a very interesting team. I think they've really underachieved at this point. Taking a look at them and what their record is, they barely eked out the win thanks to Jason Garrett Sunday night. But Kiki Kute looks like he's going to be a big part of this offense, even though you've got Will Fuller there. You've got DeAndre Hopkins there as well. They're calling plays for him. They called that play at the goal line. He got into the end zone. So I think he's good at it, especially in PPR format. If you take a look at the backfield, Alfred Blue got all the work, although Lamar Miller was suited up. I have a feeling, much like Chris Carson, it's one of those weeks where he sat there and watched the guy in front of him get a lot of work, and miraculously he'll be back on the field this week. We talked about Wendell Smallwood and Alfred Morris. Those are the guys you want to take a look at running back. If you're looking for a Hail Mary guy, and we've seen the Bengals go ahead, and when Mixon was out, they went strictly to Gio Bernard. They don't go to a committee like Philadelphia did. Mark Walton, he's next in line if something happens to Mixon. Mixon looks completely healthy, handled the full workload, but if something happens to him, you can go to Mark Walton. Wide receiver Robbie Anderson finally had that breakout game. They went downfield to him. It looks like Sam Darnold trusts him. Hopefully that'll continue to happen. I think he'll be inconsistent just because he's not going to get 10 targets a game, but I think every once in a while Robbie Anderson's going to go ahead and have that big game, which could be the difference in your matchup. Mohamed Sanu, third wide receiver, I would say technically behind Ridley and behind Julio, but a guy that's been getting it done for the last 3 weeks, gotten you double-digit scoring in 3 straight games, even in .5 PPR. And the other guy I would talk about, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Best of the rookie wide receivers for Green Bay. Anytime you can get a wide receiver that's linked to Aaron Rodgers, you want to take advantage of that. Had a big game, could have been even bigger. He missed the second touchdown by half a yard. So as long as Cobb is out, as long as Geronimo Allison is out dealing with a concussion, I think that Valdez-Scantling's fifth play. Looking at their schedule, they have a game this week, and then they're on the bye. So I would think that Cobb and Geronimo will be back the week after, meaning that Valdez-Scantling, like Jameis Winston, is a good one-week play for just this week.
Oh, this is one interview I'm going to have to go back and listen to. Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. We'll have it up on our website later at espnrochester.com. Kevin, this is more of a real fantasy, a real football question as opposed to a fantasy, but sometimes, you know, the landscape of fantasy is dictated by decisions of a head coach that might not be so good, and if that coach is fired, then things can change for that team. The question is, which team will fire their head coach first? We're probably only a few weeks away. Could it be Denver? Could it be Arizona? Which coach would you say right now would be your candidate?
Dallas. I mean, it's a mess out
there. Dallas, yeah.
It is a mess out there. Now, you said Denver and Arizona.
I think coordinators in Denver and Arizona, right?
Yeah. So you've got some young blood there. I think they're going to give them a little while longer to see if they can go ahead and straighten out those situations. And Denver's not doing terrible. And they've got some crazy bad record traveling to the East and playing those early games. So there is a little bit of an excuse there. Obviously, the coaches need to go ahead and adjust for that. But, it wouldn't surprise me if it might be Dallas when Jerry Jones publicly goes out and kind of questions not going for it on fourth when you have the most expensive offensive line and arguably the best running back in the NFL. You don't go for it on fourth and one in overtime with that shortened overtime to try to get the win. I know Frank Reich got blasted for it, but he, to me, that was the absolutely right decision when the Colts went for it, trying to get the win as opposed to the tie. Don't be surprised, though. As I said, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy don't get along, and Aaron Rodgers means so much more to that organization than McCarthy does. And McCarthy calls all those plays on the offense. Yes, Aaron Rodgers can go out and audible out of them, but at the end of the day, don't be surprised if that's it. And if they lose again this week, if somehow San Francisco can pull off that offset as 10-point underdogs in Green Bay, and then they go into the bye week and you've got the extra time, don't be surprised if that's it. The one name that's really been surprising to me that people bring up is Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott, the leash is very long with him, I think. I think that getting them to the playoffs, as long as he didn't go 0-16 this year, which obviously he's not, he can use a mulligan for this year no matter what the Bills end up doing. So a little bit surprised to see his name floated out there, but that's who I would say that I would be really worried about as far as coaching firings go.
All right, Kevin, you're always great with your time to join us here in the Sports Bar and talk fantasy football. Let everybody know where they can read more of your work and how they can be a part of the RotoWire family.
Yeah, you can check us out always at rotowire.com/trial. Sign up for your free 10-day trial. Just see an email address, no credit card information whatsoever. If you're looking for help, you've got my waiver wire pickups articles out there now. I do a daily fantasy article every Friday that comes out there. And we've got stuff like weekly rankings, offensive line grids, anything you could ever want is up there. And also check me out on Twitter at Casey Payne, PAYNE26. If you've got any questions, just give me a follow so I can DM you back. And I could go ahead and answer your question each and every week. But again, rotowire.com/trial to sign up for your free 10-day trial.
Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. Kevin, appreciate the time today.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me on.
Talk to you soon, Kevin. Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. The great. He's great. He's love that a Rochester guy, now in Buffalo, can be that prominent in the fantasy community. Knows his stuff. Mispronounced Kiki Cutie, though. I mean, it's Kiki Cutie. Kiki Cutie.
Wait, how did he say it?
I think he said Cootie or Cowdy. Cootie?
Doesn't matter. Are they going to put up points or
it's
not?
Funner to
they,
say
these guys
Kiki
are looking
Cutie.
Over, yeah, it's looking over a spreadsheet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Actually, that's one where I don't know. It depends on who would Trey White cover.
Well, Trey White's going to cover
Hopkins. Right. So maybe this Cutie be the guy that's going to have big numbers. Okay.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
If you missed that conversation, if you came in late, you need some fantasy advice, we'll get that for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. Take a break next and come back with I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar. I have a few thoughts from last night's Monday Night Football game, a historic game for Drew Brees. The NFL really, at times, just appears to be making it up as they go along. I'll explain.
We need to talk about the Blue Cross Arena, and one of the expectations I had fell way, way short. So we'll tell you what we know as far as the concessions at the BCA as the Amherst are back home tomorrow night.
We've got Jordan Mills, Buffalo Bills right tackle, joining us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. And your phone calls. You're always welcome to pull up a stool and join us here in the Sports Bar at the Betlam Residential Hotline, 454-ESPN, 454-3776. For 95 years, there's been one company to call to service, repair, or replace your home heating equipment, Betlam Residential Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Betlam Residential at 271-HEAT or visit Betlam.com today. We play I'll Drink to That next on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader. ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.